There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
I'm joined in the studio by Lynn Jafar, founder and managing mum of High Hopes Pediatric Therapy Centre, and Dr. Mike Benet, who's the lead therapist at High Hopes. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for joining. Hi, Dr. Mike.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Now, High Hopes opened, was it around November time?
Yes.
And can you just tell us a little bit, Lynn, as I said there, you're the founder and managing mum. What does managing mum mean?
Means I'm a mother who actually is managing the facility at the moment. We started off this facility because I have a daughter with a rare genetic condition who requires multiple therapies, and we decided that we wanted to have a place which has everything under one roof, and it was something that we wanted to have in Dubai because of our experience.
Can you tell me a bit about your daughter's condition and what challenges you faced then?
Yes, so my daughter is 4 years old. She lives with refractory epilepsy, and she is unable to walk or talk and requires daily therapies. And this is why we wanted somewhere where she's not too tired to go to every day and get the required services.
So before High Hopes opened, you were then having to travel all over Dubai to different therapists and different experts, is that right?
Yes.
Which must have taken its toll on you and her.
Yes, to be honest, because she's young, and you know, early intervention is something that's very important for kids with complex conditions, because the more you work on them, the more it is proven to show, you know, benefits, and they will, you know, gain skills, and the aim is to get them as independent as possible. So yes, we used to commute all over Dubai, go from one place to another, and I used to be her representatives to all her other therapists. So
you were the one always having to communicate her notes and try and explain things that perhaps maybe you didn't even fully understand yourself.
Exactly. So, yes, so that was tiring for her and for us as a family. And we wanted to have a team that actually understands her condition, because her condition is quite rare and she has complex needs. You need people who really understand and have experience with this. So the team we allocated and the team we hired are really skilled people with different backgrounds, and actually will work greatly together and communicate and work in an interdisciplinary approach. So that's something that, as a mother, I wanted to have done for me, and it's something that's really beneficial for us as a family.
And to other families, of course. So that brings me to you, Dr. Mike Benet. Can you tell me a little bit about your background and training and what brought you to Dubai?
Sure, absolutely. I have a clinical doctorate in physical therapy, and the fact that it's a clinical degree reflects the idea that it's not so much based on research, more focused on actually caring for kids directly. I earned that in 2003, and then went on to practice at the Children's Hospital of Colorado, which is one of the top five children's hospitals in the United States generally. And there I specialized in working with kids with complex medical needs, which is an absolute joy for me.
How complex and how kind of how big is that range?
Sure. It's a broad term, and really what it reflects is that children both have conditions that have a lot of different components and would benefit from care addressing all of those components at the same time. There, you know, if we go into, for example, physical therapy with a knee injury, it's pretty straightforward. You need physical therapy. For a child who has complex medical needs, providing care from one aspect, maybe physical therapy as one aspect, might not be successful, and we need to work as a team in a specific format to help that child.
And what drew you to physiotherapy as a student? What was it that really kind of piqued your interest?
Great. I started out in pre-med, and really realized from an early time that I wanted to work with children with special needs. And though working as a physician would be a fantastic way to help kids, there's a limit in how much time I actually would have with families and with children. As a physical therapist, I get a lot of time, and I get to just play. It's actually a great career, and often when I'm working with kids, their parents will say, Mike gets paid to do this, and kids are just amazed that I actually have this as a job.
So when you say play, what kind of things would happen in a session with you, depending on the the child, obviously.
Sure, and that's the biggest question, is depending on the child. So it's hard to say necessarily. We are strongly focused on really two things, both family-based care and also what is the clinical evidence. And so that the answer of what I would do with the child absolutely depends on who is the child and what does current evidence say is going to be the best way to approach that condition. But then the art of the concept is, for a specific child, I have to figure out what is motivating to that child, what do they want to do, and then how can I build in strengthening or mobilization of a certain joint or building of a certain skill from a motor control standpoint, and motor control being how do I use my body to produce a certain movement.
And I guess part of it, as you say, it's about motivating that child, so making it fun and not feeling like a doctor's appointment, formal.
Absolutely.
Something that they dread. So do you kind of wear quite casual clothes? Is the room fairly playful as well?
The room is really, really fun. And I tend to dress a little bit more formally than a lot of physical therapists, and that, you know, that can go either way. I think it's a good thing because you kind of impart that we try to hold a very high standard of professionalism. But the room is absolutely fun. It looks like a playroom. And one of the things I find with children is, speaking directly to children as individuals, not necessarily down to children in any case, and speaking with children, and they look at the room and there's so many fun things to do, they often guide the session. They say, Mike, I want to do this, and then it's my responsibility to continue to make it fun but make it challenging.
And can you just tell me a little bit about the children that High Hopes opened to serve and work with, Linda?
So High Hopes actually caters to the moderate to complex kids. We wanted to kind of tackle that niche, you know, the kids that require a lot of intervention. So we have a huge range from, you know, genetic conditions, which presents differently. So you have kids who are unable to walk, to talk, to eat. A lot of them have visual issues, because when you have a complex case, you have multiple disabilities. And so we wanted to have, you know, to cater to these kids and have them, you know, have a place that they can go to without making it too medical. So it's a really fun facility. It looks like a nursery in some ways. And this is something also from my personal experience, because I used to go around from one place to another and I used to feel, oh, this might be a bit depressing for the children.
So like a sterile environment that might be a little bit more intimidating.
Exactly. So we have kids that come in and actually don't want to leave. And, you know, you have the parents dragging them out and they're enjoying. We have a nice play area for siblings as well, because I have a second daughter as well, and she comes along to all the therapy sessions, and you don't want them just sitting there and, you know, getting bored. So there's other things for them to do. So we're trying to have a place that caters to the whole family and balancing it out.
And what kind of age range of children?
Zero, from newborn babies, wow. Yes, to 14 years old. Actually, I started working with my child since she was 3 months old. She started physical therapy. Once I got the diagnosis, I wanted to do everything I needed to do. So that's very important. The sooner you start, the better it is for the child.
And what kind of, when we're talking about moderate to complex needs, for anyone out there who's thinking perhaps that High Hopes could help them, could you name some of the issues that are facing some of the children who are at the centre? Just any of the issues at all?
Do you mean in terms of
the medical,
the medical
definitions? Yeah.
So it's a huge spectrum as well. So we have some, you know, milder cases, which are, you know, milder autism. We have a few kids that are, you know, nonverbal, finding ways for them to communicate in a more effective way. We have an amazing communication specialist who focuses on augmentative and alternative communication, so uses of devices and apps. We also have kids that, you know, as I said, genetic conditions present with so many things. So a lot of them are, you know, unable to walk, unable to talk, have visual issues. This is something that also is very personal to me, because my daughter has something called cortical visual impairment, which is basically there's nothing wrong with the eyes. It's more the processing. So how do you, you know, present things to a child with CVI? It's more, you know, kind of, you know, the lighting and the right setting. So all the rooms are, you know, neutral colors, there's nothing busy. We try to make it as easy as possible for them to learn in these settings.
And what facilities are within that centre? Obviously, Dr. Mike Bonnet, you're the lead therapist there, but are any kind of sensory rooms, or what rooms are in that facility that parents could use?
Sure. The rooms are really built to serve the professionals that are there. And so we have physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech and language pathology, augmentative and alternative communication, and vision therapy. And so for each of those rooms, they're built almost, like a surgery center. They're built specifically to serve that specific area, although looking like a playground. So for vision therapy, for example, we have a room that has very simple visual fields. They're very easy for kids to process, but they're also easily adapted to help build a certain skill. For occupational therapy and also for vision therapy, there's a sensory room, which it's hard to describe. It's just one of the most exciting rooms that you can imagine in terms of lights, stimulation for tactile, which would be things that can vibrate, things that make special sound, but ways to kind of help kids to engage different senses. Physical therapy has a lot of swings, a lot of strengthening equipment, balls, things that we could help them to grow in their ability to interact with other kids on a playground.
I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Mike Bonnet, who's the lead therapist at High Hopes, and by founder and mum manager, Lynn Jafar. Mike, thank you so much for being on the show. I know you're a busy guy and things are all happening over at the new centre. So you opened in November. What was the lead-up process like, Lynn, in terms of trying to find a villa, trying to find the right staff? How long did that take?
Actually, I believe God's on my side, and because it's a blessed project, as I believe, it was really quick. We actually, the whole thing took a whole 1 year.
That's very quick.
Yes, from idea to actually opening. So it's exactly 12 months. And because everybody was very supportive, living in Dubai is, to be honest, such a blessing, because, you know, it's much easier to, you know, fight for the determined ones, and people really believe in this cause. And, you know, we had support from Dubai Health Authority. We had support from Her Royal Highness Princess Haya. We had support from everybody, and which was really great. Even, you know, from our landlords. We found the villa. I was looking for.
Well, I was going to ask you, because I mean, looking for a villa to live in or an apartment to live in Dubai can be challenging at the best of times.
Exactly.
Never mind trying to find a space that will work with such specific needs for treating children. So, how did you choose the location first of all, Lynn?
So, I just found the place and I fell in love, and I said, this is the place I want. We saw a few villas, and then I wanted something that had an area outside for a playground. I wanted space for a swimming pool. We wanted something that's really convenient for everybody around Dubai to reach to. So it's in Asafa One, which is really accessible from downtown Dubai, from Deira, from the Palm, from, you know, anywhere around Dubai. So it's 20 minutes from anywhere.
And I'm going to ask you, how's the parking? Because that's always a concern for Dubai.
So it's a really quiet street just off Sheikh Zayed. And it's really, you're going to have to come and see it, because it's really, we have amazing parking.
It sounds like a silly question, but I'm imagining a lot of the children that are treated at the centre are having to come to you multiple times a week. And access for when you're a busy parent with a child of determination who is obviously taking up a lot of your time and a lot of your energy, and you're having to incorporate probably multiple appointments into your week, that kind of convenience can't be underestimated. So especially, you know, parking outside, getting a child out of the car who might have limited mobility. So things like that do go a long way.
Exactly. So we actually have, you know, the new rules of, you know, the guidelines for creating such a facility are also amazing. They're really, you know, well studied. So, you know, the width of the doors or the ramps, having the lift, you know, the exit strategies and everything. So it's really well planned. And, you know, we have a lot of support living here in Dubai, to be honest.
And can I ask about the challenges you faced? So you, how old was your daughter when you got her diagnosis?
So Alia was actually 3 months old when we got the diagnosis. So the day we got the diagnosis, of course, you know, it's a verdict on your life, and you think, oh my God, what am I going to do? I wasn't actually in the UAE when I got the diagnosis, so I was a bit worried coming back and thinking, oh my God, but what's going to be here? What's going to be here? What's available in the UAE? There are amazing places, to be honest. You know, it's not about, you know, it's, you know, we're different in some ways, but we wanted somewhere where I knew she would require multiple things. And I, you know, living in Dubai also in terms of commuting, you know how much, you know, things take. So we had, you know, there are good people around, but you'd have to, you know, drive for 30 minutes somewhere and then another 30 minutes somewhere else and 40 minutes here and there. So that was really tiring on my daughter. By the time we left the house, she might have a seizure sometimes in the car. So, you know, kind of turn around, go back, cancel an appointment here. So we wanted a place which was more family friendly. So, you know, we understand these things happen. We understand that, you know, you want to have back-to-back therapies. You want communication between your therapists. So as a mother, that's really important to me. Instead of me being, you know, the fighter all the time.
Someone else taking a bit of that help,
exactly,
that helping hand. And Dr. Mike Bonet, what kind of therapists are there under the roof? Who are you working alongside and who are you collaborating with?
So we have, again, physical therapy, which I am the physical therapist there. We also have alternative and augmentative communication specialists.
What's alternative communication?
That's a great question. So our AAC, again, alternative and augmentative communication specialist, is named Amanda Graves. And her goal is to identify a child who has the cognition to produce thoughts but has a difficulty in expressing those thoughts. And it might be that verbal language, speaking, is difficult for that child. And it might be that that's still the path. You might still build verbal language, but it may need a bridge of using a computerized device, or even what we consider a low-tech device might be a board with pictures that the child can point to. And the beauty of this is we can help language to continue to develop even if there's a limitation in verbal language.
Okay, so you would work potentially alongside, and as you said, Lynn, you're dealing with children who have complex issues, which, mm-hmm, from my understanding, it could be multiple needs and needing multiple therapists and doctors. And what else is there under that? You mentioned a swimming pool. Is there hydrotherapy? Is that something you're looking to do?
So, yes, the therapists do use. So Mike is keen on using the pool with the kids. It's outdoors, so also the weather plays a big role. But yes, so we've partnered with hydrotherapists in Barcelona, who come, you know, for intensives and do an intensive program, which is really great because kids love water. They love doing things outdoors, and it's a fun thing to do.
So you're getting in the pool, Mike?
I enjoy getting in the pool. I am not the best swimmer out there, but
so it's a shallow pool.
Yeah, what it really comes down to is if a child's going to benefit from the modality, and meaning that's one way to provide therapy. It's a fantastic approach to therapy, and we're really lucky to have basically all the best toys to achieve that goal.
So, what could a family expect when they walk through the door of High Hopes? What's the atmosphere like?
So you walk in, it's a really friendly place. So it's actually my sister works with us, Aida, and she, you know, she helps me manage the place. And then everybody, you know, from you walking in, the front desk to, you know, the admin team, everybody's very friendly. Everybody knows, you know, the condition of each child, and they, you know, they feel with them. You know, you give them toys and you show them around, and you know, we offer coffee for families while they're waiting. It's just a very nice, friendly place. So it depends. So you have, you know, for the kids that come often, you know, we've done assessments, evaluations, so we know, you know, their program. But for new children who are coming in, we usually ask parents to fill in an intake form to see, you know, what can we offer? You know, who's the best person to be the first point of contact with them? And then based on that, we actually offer either an integrated assessment where the whole team is present, or we offer individual assessments. And it depends on what the family needs. So we say, what are you looking for? Are you looking for something which is, you know, a cumulative, basic, you know, everybody together? Do you want a full, you know, a full answer, or would you like just to focus on PT? And it depends also on, you know, what are they willing to commit to in terms of a program. You know, some people, we have families that are coming and doing 10 sessions a week, and we have
10
families
sessions a week.
Yes,
and
we have families that actually come in for once a week. So it depends on the complexity of the condition and depends on the families and what they need.
Now, Dr. Mike, are you ready for some questions?
I'm going to give it my best shot.
Okay. We've had an SMS that's come in saying, please ask Dr. Mike, my son skipped crawling and I've been told this can affect his development. He's now 10 years old, very active, dyslexic and fidgety. So could that be related? And really, what does skipping crawling actually mean?
Sure, it's a fantastic question. First off, could they be related? It's a question of chicken or the egg. Would the lack of crawling affect the child's abilities in the future, or would there be an underlying condition that affected the ability to crawl? And to be honest, I can't answer that at this time. But crawling, there's a lot of evidence to support the fact that crawling builds hand function. It builds a connection between eye and hand coordination. And so there is a potential for that. Those things then have bearing to language development. Again, it's very hard to say whether or how that relationship actually works. The idea, though, that he skipped crawling, there are ways to then in the future bolster his skills so that it's not an ongoing issue. And those depend on the areas that then he presents with at this time. But he's a great candidate for coming in and addressing those issues directly through different therapies.
That's interesting because people always think, when you have a child, it's always about the milestones mm-hmm. and doing this and doing that. And you know what it's like, the competitive. Mm-hmm. of parenting and people go, oh, she's going to completely skip crawling and just go straight to walking, as if that's almost like winning in the development stakes. But actually going through those milestones is incredibly important for development.
Absolutely, and it brings up a really good point. That idea is growth linear? There are certain stages, such as crawling, rolling, things that have strong benefits to them, but if we look at the evidence, and there are some very good studies suggesting that growth is not linear, there is not a specific recipe that every child should go through. It's more, are they accomplishing the kind of qualitative pieces of movement that they should throughout time? And there is, again, not a specific recipe for that.
Okay, another question that came in, I'm not sure you're going to be able to help with, but I will raise it anyway.
Sure.
Saying my 1.5-year-old son, I've just realized by putting my finger in his mouth that he's got a lip tie. What can I do about it? Lip ties are very common, I'm guessing.
I'm going to speak a little bit out of my practice area, but I'm going to give it a shot anyways, because this is not generally a physical therapy area. But my thought is that the lip tie is referencing a band of tissue under the lip called the maxillary frenulum. And that's a band of tissue that develops normally in children. And sometimes that might be more adhered. There might be more of a connection or less of a connection. Maybe the more common one is the lingual frenulum, which is under the tongue, same concept. And it is possible to go in manually or with our hands and try and release that a little bit and loosen that tissue up. There may be the ability for a speech and language pathologist to go in and retrain that. The other option, though, is it is a very simple procedure surgically, and that's one of those where if that's necessary, it really is worth going in and having that done just to simply solve the problem.
So just to figure out if it actually is causing any impact on quality of life or future development.
Absolutely.
We're talking this afternoon about the opening of High Hopes, which is a pediatric therapy centre that opened in November and has had royal support, no less, and was founded by Lynn Jafar, who's joining us this afternoon after the diagnosis of her daughter with a rare genetic condition. And how old was she when you realised that, that there may well have been an issue there, Lynn?
To be honest, when I was pregnant, I had a perfect pregnancy. She developed normally. I had everything was, I delivered at 41 weeks. The doctor said she's the healthiest baby they've ever seen. And then at 19 days of age, she actually started seizing.
Must have been terrifying.
It was really. It's something that, you wouldn't imagine would happen to you. But when it happens to you, you're just panicking because you don't have no one to actually go to. But the thing is, we started slowly because of her, she had the seizures and then we couldn't really control them. So, straight away, once you have refractory seizures, they know, there are these specific genetic tests that you need to do. And luckily, we had a diagnosis. I know it sounds funny to say luckily, but actually having a diagnosis changed my life. Because it helps us understand what she has and how to treat it and who are the people to connect to and actually how to deal with our daily life.
Did it help you? Did it empower you then to feel like this is what we're going up against potentially and this is the plan we're going to put in place for the family?
Exactly. So we reach out to family groups, actually patient groups, around the world. There's an amazing patient group in the US, and I reached out to them. We're a family living in Dubai. You know, we have a daughter who's newly diagnosed. What do we do? And they gave us all these, you know, supportive documents, and they were there to support us. And hopefully one day we'll have a support group in the UAE, or actually in the region, because you don't really need, you know, it's a rare condition. But it really helps having, you know, families and, you know, support around you that helps make this journey easier.
It sounds like High Hopes is not only dealing with the physical issues of children coming in with various problems, but also perhaps dealing with the parents as well and offering that community and support feel. Is that something you're looking to develop in terms of bringing those parents together?
Actually, the parents who are coming to High Hopes are, you know, we've become like a big family. We you know, we meet in the kitchen, we have chats, you know, we share different, you know, experiences. And we actually, for mothers that actually come to High Hopes, we actually, you know, we planned the rare disease walk, you know, out of our kitchen in High Hopes, which was funny, over a cup of coffee. And we had the support, as I said, of everyone, you know, from RTA to Miras, you know, Kite Beach, and, you know, everybody, you know, Salt gave us the venue for free. And which is amazing, because you see how much people are, you know, living by the year of Zayed, and everybody wants to give back. And so that was really great. And it shows you how, you know, a small group of people can make a big difference. So we had almost around 400 people show up to the event.
Wow. And how meaningful is it to you as a mother then to connect with other mothers?
Extremely meaningful. They've become my best friends. I speak to them every day. You know, it's easy to share, because if you're not a fighter in this journey, you know, you can sympathize with people, but you can never understand, you know, you can never put yourself in their shoes. So having a fellow mom or a fellow dad that understands this journey and lives it day by day is really amazing.
Well, congratulations on finding, also supporting your daughter in what she needs, but you can't forget about yourselves as parents. You know, yes. It's a classic kind of example of, you know, if a plane goes down, you put your own oxygen mask on before helping your child. And I think that's something that it's a big challenge facing parents of children with determination in terms of not getting support that they need, and because it's huge demands on your time and your energy. And to have the support of someone else that's is in there, is doing it as well. Have you connected with people regionally with the same condition as your daughter?
Actually, I always believe in karma and how things happen. So I always believed that my daughter was the only one in the region with her condition. And it's...
What's the name of her condition then?
So it's called CDKL5 deficiency disorder. So it's a protein deficiency in the brain. So everything is there. You know, the brain and the anatomy is there. But it's kind of like you have a motor, but you don't have the gas or the fuel for it. So so funnily, when we opened the center... the next week, we got a call saying, "Hi, I'd like to come in. I've seen, you know, the release in the newspaper. Can I come in?" And I said, "Sure, but can you just give us a bit of information?" And she said, "Yeah, but my daughter has a genetic condition. It's very rare. You know, you haven't heard of it." And I said, "Okay, just spell it out." And she spelled it out. And I said, "Oh my God, I have the same condition." So it was a bit of, you know, really karma and how things are meant
into each other's
exactly,
lives.
Exactly. So I feel really connected to the families.
It sounds like you've had some real breakthrough moments yourself as a mother and obviously as a founder of the centre. Have there been any times, Mike, where you've had people coming in and you've thought, wow, we're doing something really special here?
Absolutely. Lynn's comment about kind of that magical moment. I feel like the High Hope Center is really an engine that drives those magical moments, because we're offering something unique in the region with the idea of providing top quality care for kids with complex medical needs, and really doing so with an eye on serving from the family perspective. And so all of these families that had these terrifying moments respectively, you know, where they received news and start to go through through this process of mourning and feel very alone in that process of mourning. And then they realize that not only is there a center to provide medical care, and that's an important thing, and specifically therapeutic care, but more importantly, there's a community. There are other families who are 5 years down the road that have already gone through a problem, solved a lot of the issues, and to be cared for, to be a part of that community is something very exciting to be able to share.
But you're a relative newcomer to Dubai. You came here for the opening of High Hopes. Where were you before? I understand you spent some time in India as well.
Sure. My wife and I spent 2 years in New Delhi. We were the co-clinical directors of a manual therapy training center in India, working on helping some very talented therapists in India to grow in their skills. And that was a fantastic experience.
I'm joined in the studio this afternoon by founder and MAM manager, Lynn Jafar, and Dr. Mike Benet, who's joining us from High Hopes Pediatric Physical Center. Now, I know I said I wouldn't do this to you, Dr. Mike, but I am going to bring a question on you. 4001 is the message line if you have got any questions or queries or concerns for Dr. Mike, who is here as a leading physical therapist amongst children. So do get in touch now. I'm hoping you can help with this one. My messages come in anonymously, and of course it can be anonymous if you prefer, saying, my boy was born premature and his left foot rotates slightly inwards. Can it be corrected?
Okay, again, fantastic question. And that's one of those that I really cannot say without knowing specifically what that is. It might be a variety of things. And what we really look at is, what is the system causing that? It can be the neurological system causing muscles to act in a specific way. It can be tightness of a specific muscle based on the position in utero. If it was a child that was a little bit larger with a smaller, more petite mom, that often can cause those issues. It can be an issue of the joints. And then, again, those issues can all be based off of a variety of different systems within the body. So I would say now is the time to have someone look at that, and that might be your primary care physician. That would be something that a physical therapist could also look at, but it's best to have that addressed.
To start with your kind of family doctor and be referred from that.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Now, we talk about High Hopes being really holistic center in the sense that you've got many disciplines under that one roof in SAFA 1. And Dr. Mike, we've talked about evidence-based care, but what exactly is evidence-based care and why is it so powerful?
Really good question. And it really comes down to the integrity of our care. Are we providing care in the best possible way for each individual? And so there are broadly three general aspects of evidence-based care. The first one is, what is the best research evidence? And those are the peer-reviewed journals or those pieces of information that the broad population of scientists feel are important. That's not the whole picture. Then we also have the clinical expertise of the individual, and that's why we invest so heavily in courses and learning at every possible opportunity. And last, possibly the most important piece, is the values of the families and the children specifically. Those three things together encompass evidence-based care. With regard to evidence-based care specifically for the children that we serve, those kids with complex medical needs, the evidence supports the idea of interdisciplinary care. And interdisciplinary care means that we have several different professionals who not only work side by side, but actually integrate each of the different kind of tools within each different session. So we might have a physical therapist and an occupational therapist, and as opposed to serving a patient and talking every once in a while, I actually have to work with that individual and integrate pieces of the occupational therapy program into my sessions.
So how does that work on a kind of practical level in terms of sharing notes and meetings and things? You must have to do a lot of communication between departments.
It's a really good question. It's actually very difficult. And even though I've been very fortunate to be a part of some of the top programs in the United States, they do not practice interdisciplinary care generally there because it is so hard to do. The gift that we received as professionals through the High Hope Center is we had about a month of just planning out the center, planning out special software, planning out even how the rooms are arranged, how we are going to complete our reports in a way that facilitates interdisciplinary communication. And
so really kind of solving problems before they're problems and looking at what you need on a very basic,
absolutely,
and then, or maybe not so basic level as well, in terms of, if you're starting a new center, what an opportunity to be addressing things that, you know, you could only dream of really in your job. I've got another question for you, Dr. Mike.
Sure.
This is Dr. Mike Binet from High Hopes, lead physical therapist for amongst children. A question saying, how about treating cerebral palsy? My friend has recently had her baby and he's been diagnosed with CP. It's all been very stressful for her. Is cerebral palsy something that you could help with, assist and work with parents at High Hopes?
Absolutely. One of the positives about children being born with cerebral palsy is it's one of the areas where there is the most research right now. And so there are very good studies indicating how we should best address that. The other piece is that there are large populations out there for community to help that parent.
And what about here in Dubai? Is there a resource that she could go to if she had a look online? Could she come to you for some support as well?
It would be a great place to start. The High Hope Center, again, provides that interdisciplinary care, and the research is very clear that for children with cerebral palsy, because they have multiple systems involved, because the brain is the source of the beginning of the challenge, the brain then affects the muscles, potentially the coordination of the muscles, the ability to produce movements, and those are things that can be addressed from a lot of different areas.
Okay, we've only got a couple more minutes left. If you've got any questions regarding physical therapy, especially pediatric physical therapy, for Dr. Mike Binet, who's here from High Hopes, also joined by Lynn Jafar, the founder and mum manager. So if you could give a message to anyone out there who's got a child of determination or is facing issues, Lynn, what would you say as a mother and now someone who's working within that field?
I can give two pieces of advice. One is you can fix, you know, you can try to fix things and you can try to fight it and you can try to make things easier, but you should take it easy on yourself and invest on yourself as a parent, because you know you're the one who's sourcing everything, you're the one who's running around, you need to be there for your child. So one, take it easy on yourselves, and two is find a group that supports you, that you connect with and keeps you positive. That's very important, because you can hear a lot of the negative stories, you can hear a lot of, you know, the sad stories, but you can hear also some good stories, and you can hear about, you know, good experiences and good services and facilities that can help you. So I believe it's important to have a diagnosis. I believe, you know, that really changed my life. So if you feel like your child is undiagnosed or you don't know what's going on, I would say, you know, try your best to know. If not, just kind of continue doing what you're doing, you know, giving your child a happy life, you know, putting them to bed and thinking, I gave them a good day and they're happy and they did well. And that keeps me going. So hopefully that will give people a positive message.
Lynn, we've had a message saying, Lynn sounds amazing. Please ask her, what has she learned from her daughter?
Oh my God, I learned so much from her. She gave us, I think she gave us a purpose in life. And that's like the biggest blessing for me, because I actually believe, you know, I'm here because I need to make a difference and I need to help kids like my daughter. And it makes you appreciate, you know, everything around you, and it humbles you. It's an amazing experience. It's a bittersweet journey.
Thank you, Lynn Jafar, founder and mum manager at High Hopes in Suffolk. And we're also joined this afternoon by Dr. Mike Binet, who's been on hand to answer questions. We've had a question saying, please provide contacts for Dr. Mike. Many thanks. We will pop all of High Hopes information on the Dubai Today website, and there'll be a podcast going out as well. So thank you, High Hopes team. Huge congratulations on the opening of the centre and all the very best for the future.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.